Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here. We're in studio today with a local superstar talking to our global audience in the art of construction. It's an honor to be here starting this thing out. Give credit where credit's due. Every one of these podcasts is the kindling or our fireside chats that turn into many great deep dive conversations. Credit to our buddies Jeff Sample and Nathan Wood of the Contech Crew and the AEC Integration Summit. They interviewed him and on the Contech Crew. Make sure you check it out. Is AI smart enough to answer constructability questions with Marcus Kirkwood of Builder Answers? To unpack this a little bit for us to tee it up is Marcus runs a company right here out of Colorado called Outpost, and he's going to talk a little bit about that. And then we're going to get into the future of construction that is right now in front of us with all kinds of great tools, and he has built a tool called Builder Answers. So it's an honor to have you here, Marcus, in studio. Go see you buffs and all kinds of cool local stuff together here. And it's an honor to have you here. And the main message as we were doing all our pre-interviews and discussions that we want to convey to you, Tribe, is that, you know, tech needs to be on job sites. But what Marcus and I were talking a lot about is that we're failing at this because, you know, on average, only 10% are actually getting the right tools, meaning they're still kind of doing it the way they always have done it. And tools like Procore are not in the doer's hands. They're more of the off-site hands. And we really got to get that on-site to the champions in the trenches. And you can't say they're not using it personally. I think they may be using it too much right now of scrolling and different tech tools personally, but we got to get that to move into construction. And the benefit of that is that we're not going to go into another deep dive about the labor gap issues. We all know that if you're paying attention, if you're in the trenches, like all of us master facilitators working together. And the main message we're going to talk about how to really solve that. Because at the end of the day, tech is sexy. Construction is not, and we got to change that. So let's discuss how we can con-tech together better buildings. And from my perspective of all this is that, you know, I'm going to challenge him of like, why use a specialty tool instead of generic ChatGPT or Microsoft Copilot of understanding these kind of global AI tools or these specialized tools. And we have so many construction tools. I have so many people reaching out to me around Contech. They built a tool, and I say over and over again, what is the problem you're out to solve? Because they're looking for that problem, and that's not going to work, right? And so one of the things that as we were getting this thing going, the old statement in construction is there's no stupid questions. Well, if there's no stupid questions, then there's no stupid answers, like how do you use a hammer? And so instead of keep talking about how to use a hammer, let's move this thing forward and get to know Marcus a little bit better. Marcus, it's an honor to have you here. Let's start off with a speed round. What do you say and get to know you and your story
let's
that led
it,
you
man.
To this?
All Thanks right. so much for having me.
It's an honor. What's your favorite beverage?
Big coffee guy. I know that's a lame answer, man, but I could drink coffee all day. Any cold brew, iced coffee, right up my alley. I drink way too much if I didn't prohibit myself, cut back just a little bit. So coffee all day.
Awesome. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
That's a tougher question, but I gotta go New Zealand. My wife and I spent a few weeks down there before we had our first kid. And if you're a Colorado person and you like what Colorado has to offer, New Zealand kind of just takes everything to the next level in terms of the climate and what people like to do. Just an unbelievable spot, and we were lucky enough to go right before the world kind of shut down in 2020.
I couldn't agree more. That's where my wife and I did our honeymoon. Did the 2 weeks in the South Island,
yep.
and every three nights, or when we and I'm a big rugby guy,
yep.
and adventure, and so
yep.
like 3 days in Queenstown, and
yep.
Taking that all in, and just like the hikes and getting. I couldn't agree more. It's just like it's an amazing playground.
It is.
That it's
we'll,
cool
we'll have
that we
to compare
that.
Notes. We did a couple weeks on the South Island too. Spent a few days in Queenstown. We were there during Christmas, so we kind of got to celebrate Christmas down there, which is their summer. It was a very, very different experience than what we
All right, well, let's get the audience. I'll give one story, then you give one story.
All right, you got it.
So I'm a big adventure guy, and I love rugby, and we kept missing a match because I got it very structured as far as we had rent a RV, and then we were staying in hotels. So we would go in the pubs and watch the rugby games and, you know, meet with the locals at night. But when we were going to Queenstown, I really like did it up and had this whole thing. And I said, well, there's all these things we have to do. And my wife turned and looked at me and she goes, pick one and don't ever ask me to do one of these things again.
Yeah.
And I picked for her and I to do the tallest bungee jump in the world
cool,
at AJ
man.
Hackett. And
yep.
We're going out on this tram thing that like it's the river's so far down there, you can barely see the
yep.
river. And you go heaviest to lightest, the way the cords work and everything. We're going out there, and I'm like, I mean, I'm pretty confident until you're kind of like in a spot. And it was one of those moments we're going out there. I was like, I have like pushed so hard for this thing.
Yeah.
And we're going out there, and you have to walk the plank. And
yeah.
there's people from all over the world
yep.
in this thing. And I was first, and I was shaking so hard to walk out on that
yeah.
plank, but I had to pretend because I was
yeah.
so strong
yeah,
going
yeah.
into this deal. And I swan dive off of that thing. And then my wife was second to last, and everybody just kept jumping. And then I watched my wife. She's like the same as me. And her comment is, you fall so much, you run out of screaming.
Yes.
And
so
we talk,
true.
We still like talk a lot about that adventure of like those things where you take a leap of faith,
yep.
literally and figuratively, and then you have to figure it out. And that's what we're going to unpack today of like, you know, you get to know each other from our passions of golf or connections through Nathan Wood and or our wives that make us tick to
yep.
then how to make building better. And yesterday I was at a comment with Nathan Wood on the Construction Progress. They were talking about mental health, and they did this whole check-in and where you were around mental health. And at the end of the day, if you confuse, you lose. So sometimes though, you got to just take the leap, right? And
yeah.
so there's my story of New
yeah.
Zealand. What's
yeah.
yours?
Well, that's so funny, man. I've stood on that exact same platform. I didn't have a similar wife story. Holly, my wife, is incredible. She was pregnant when we were there with our
okay.
first kid. And that jump is way too big to do if you're pregnant. So she was cool enough to let us roll out there. And I'm a big adrenaline junkie. So getting to jump off of that same platform, man, that river is 100 miles away down that canyon. I mean, it is a really, really cool experience for sure. So I can relate to that. One of my other favorite things we did when we were down there, one of my favorite things, this is kind of a lame answer, is just spending time in a car. When you get to drive around and see some of the landscape that's down there, it's just
the waterfalls
yeah.
and it's just amazing.
It's just incredible. Yeah. I think the story that sticks out the most, we woke up early one morning and we were doing one of the, you know, world renowned hikes, and we're coming from Colorado. So our expectation is that we're not really going to get into anything that we haven't been into before.
Mm.
And one of those picturesque hikes, you start going up like right at the beginning is a really steep hill, like switchbacks back and forth. It's not rocky or scary or anything like that, but to be out of breath that early on in a hike and to know you've got 6 hours left was a humbling experience. You know, you're borderline sea level, and you compare that to what we've got in the Rockies.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, man, that place is for real. So that's one of the ones that sticks out to me the most as the biggest shocker from
awesome.
Our time down there.
Cool stuff. Well, what is your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos we're going to be talking about breaking down that we passionately call the art of construction?
Family, for sure, number one. That's kind of a boring answer, right? I'm a big family guy. Family comes first in my life. But as far as a personal passion, I hated golf till I was 30 years old. And as they say, the bug bit me. And when it bit me, it bit me hard. So any chance I get to get on a golf course or travel to a fun course we get to play somewhere, I'm all over it.
Awesome. Well, if you can hear, our personal passions definitely align, and we're also very big on coming from supply chain and figuring out how we can take our existing businesses and really be leaders and or master facilitators in the art of construction. Marcus, it's an honor to have you here. What is your story that led you being the founder of Builder Answers and the owner of Outpost Construction Supply?
So I got into the entrepreneurial game really young. I fell in love with starting businesses. I enjoy the lifestyle. I enjoy the relationships that it provides. I saw really quickly how hard it is to do something and to do something successfully. And I saw a need that needed to be met in the construction industry. You know, it ties a lot into what we're going to talk about with AI and builder answers, but it was really the same problem, right? Why is it okay for construction to operate like it's 1950 when none of the rest of the world does? So when you walk into most construction supply stores or similar kind of arenas in our industry, the way I describe it is if you walked into a Chipotle or Starbucks and you had that same experience, the place was dirty, the people weren't kind, the service was subpar, you would never go back to that place again. Your delivery shows up late, you would never buy from that company again. But for some reason in our industry, it's been acceptable to treat people that way. And I don't understand why that's the case. So I wanted to build something different. And in 2011, started Outpost Construction Supply, and we're founded on old school principles. We do what we say we're going to do. When we tell you we're going to do something, we do it, and we do it right the first time. That's made us really successful in the space, and we're going to continue to grow based on that business model. The same thing happened or is happening in the tech side of construction. Like you said earlier, construction is known as an unsexy industry. People don't aspire to be a part of construction outside of a few exceptions mm-hmm. who are really passionate about it. You know, so grateful that we have CSU in our backyard that's popping out construction management program leaders who come into our space and do really, really amazing things. But the rest of the industry's got to catch up, right? We've got mm-hmm. Procore and some of the other tools that everybody on this podcast already knows sitting in the hands of office managers, but we've got to find a solution that makes construction feel like a normal part of everybody's life, not this weird subset that they go to from 7 to 3:30, where they set all of their normal life tools, experiences aside, go do their job that they may or may not like, and then pick all those tools and accessories back up for fun. You know, let's bring what people know, what people study, what people understand and use every day to the job site.
I love that. And it's kind of like the real world is used to an Amazon store.
Exactly.
But the construction world still is used to the contractor's desk.
That's right.
At different levels. And we're going to unpack how to change that. So we need to teach the right tools to begin with the end in mind. All right. So we got this all teed up here of, you know, I always talk about beginning with the end in mind or system-built construction, and it's another term for actually taking the assets from all of the pre-con or digital tools to get them into the hands of the people actually constructing the building. And you and I have been talking a lot about that, of kind of that life cycle, right? So we need to be able to teach the right tools to begin with the end in mind. Can you talk through how we do that? And then the punchline downstream is we're going to talk about some tools you're really building to collectively do that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's kind of what I was just mentioning, right? We have all of these tools in our life, whether you're in high school or you're just living life on the weekends. We spend 12 years educating kids using laptops and utilizing smartphones as a tool. And then they show up on a job site and they're supposed to set all of that stuff aside and go pick up a hammer and do the work that they're supposed to do. And then they go back and pick their laptop or their phone up.
Oh, and you mean nobody, they don't want to do that? And so that's like the joking part. You have to stop and be like, okay. Oh, they don't want to. They only want to be behind the screen. I'm like, yeah. Well, that's what they were taught, what
exactly.
They're supposed to do. And then they go to the job site and there's no screen there.
Exactly.
Like, you know, I just gave you a tour of my window and door company. And like, we still, like, I keep putting screens in front of the warehouse and like trying to adopt them. And they still just print everything.
Yep.
Because that's like, and in their defense, it's how it all links together.
That's exactly right. I'll give you a great example of this. When we started Outpost, it was 2011. And I was 22 years old, and to me, as a recently graduated from college entrepreneur, of course you show up on a job site with an iPad instead of a carbon copy packing slip. And we showed up on job sites with an iPad, and you would have thought we were coming with technology from the year 3000. I mean, people looked at us like we were absolutely crazy. And once we walked through people through the process, they fell in love with it. But I think that's an example of how far behind construction is in what the rest of the world deems simple adoptions of technology.
Yeah, and the credibility part, you know, relationships are earned, not given. And you and I are coming from me collectively in supply chain my whole career 12 years owning Mountain View Window and Door, 10 years before that working in other for others in supply chain. You're coming from Outpost Construction Supply, where you've saw the need and been successful supplying products to projects in construction. And I think it's really important people hear that, because that's really what, when people ask me, who is part of the Art of Construction Master Facilitator community? And I say, well, we're the MFers in construction that you want to work with. But we've actually done it for a while. And why that's critically important is I think we're in the sophomore slump. And I raised my hand, just like a lot of people, to say I was a very early adopter, just like you, of like CRMs and iPads and digital signatures. And you'd send it out there like it was supposed to all work, and then they wouldn't have internet, or they didn't know how to log in, or we didn't give them the right training or the right tools. And then we were frustrated when downstream there's a lawsuit because the e-signature got lost in the cloud or something. And now we're in this spot where, like, you know what? The only thing I know that's tried and true is the same thing, like a fax machine, that it comes in and you physically, somebody does something. And we're in a crazy convergence. It's not that the customer on the other end won't e-sign that thing. It's the fact of the process of all those different handoffs of what I call the data drop chasm of all these silos in construction. So you and I here are coming from legacy supply chain, because there's so many of us, but to build better buildings, we have to think differently and adopt different platforms to actually come together. And that's, as a leader of the Art of Construction, that's what I'm here of. Like, we cannot be a complete divergence of taking a blind eye of where it's really at today, is my perspective.
You couldn't have hit the nail on the head more perfectly. And the fact that we're still having conversations like this, the rest of the world figured this out in the mid-90s, and we're 30 years down the road still going, man, are we okay with e-signatures, or are they getting lost? And the rest of the world isn't having those conversations. So getting the industry to a spot where having your cell phone on a job site getting utilized as a tool is an acceptable solution. We've got some work to do, but I don't think as of right now there are enough tools where it makes sense. So I understand the apprehension that a superintendent or a project manager has.
Totally. That's what we have to lean into, like, be real about it, right? Like, it's what's better, to have somebody physically sign a piece of paper that you know you have and you scan back into a tool that you know you're going to have, or a tool that you think could work when they send it out with their iPad?
Yeah, especially.
And the key thing about computational design and construction is there's so many parts to a project and so many silos that don't link together, so that when there's problems, because it's not if, it's when and how many, how do they come together? And then at the end of the day, we have to empower people that have to solve a problem or have a question, that where do you go to ask the question to just, like, solve the problem, right? Because that's how you win in construction, is solve problems. It's one of our core values of all of our company, is being a problem solver. So today we're going to unpack of, I think we've teed it all up of, we all know that's how you be successful in construction, is solve problems. So what is a tool that could help you crawl, walk, run? That's where we're going to getting into saying, how do we put the tech simple into people's hands and figure that out? You have developed a tool to start that's called Builder Answer. It's pretty obvious why the name is Builder Answer, but give the origin of how Builder Answer came to be and what it is and how that is solving problems in construction.
So Builder Answers was not created to be the one genie that fixes tech in all of construction. It's one small tool, just like you need a hammer and a drill and a wrench and everything else that you've got in your tool belt or your truck or your Connex. It's just one aspect that's going to shift the industry a little bit closer to a solution. And the reason we decided to build the solution is because one of the issues that I still see as very prevalent in our industry is that old school mentality where you have to have all the answers. Pride and ego are a really big thing. And if you don't have those answers, and I come to you, Devin, you're my boss, and I ask you a question that you think I should know the answer to, I'm belittled, made fun of, and patronized. So I wanted to come up with a solution where people can ask that question, and one, they don't have to deal with Devin, who's not the nicest leader I've ever worked for.
Hey, come on.
on a job site. Or we also have scenarios where you've got to walk across a job site which might be a full city block, to ask a question, to walk back to the spot where you were working. Let's give these guys a solution to questions that they quote unquote should know the answer to, but may not because they don't have that 20 years of experience. So let's give them that experience in their pocket in the form of builder answers, so that when they're on a job site, they don't know what to do or they don't know what the best solution is. They take their phone out, they type the question in, they get an immediate response. And, you know, is it 100% foolproof? Of course not. If we've got a significant liability situation or a really high risk problem, use the tool and ask the question. Come up with a couple of ideas and bounce them around with one another. Like I said, it's not an overarching, we're going to fix technology and construction. It's just one step. Let's put another tool in people's hands they can use wherever they are, instead of having to go down those old school routes where they might get belittled, or they might not have an answer, or they might have to walk too far to get it. Whatever those big hurdles are, they don't have to jump over them anymore.
I commend that. And it's just like this podcast is another tool, you know, of like listening to that phone of like, how do I take that computer in my pocket and add value, whether I'm listening and learning or moving it forward. And it's, I was super excited for this conversation. I want to point out that you and I are funding these tools from our supply channel companies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
So Outpost is, you and I didn't talk about this, but it's kind of Outpost of like, you really see the pain and you're trying to turn shared pains into shared gains. And when you supply a product, it's actually what they wanted.
Yeah.
And then
exactly
be able to
right.
answer questions that just like this podcast, The Art of Construction, of lifelong learners coming together to say, how do we actually put the tech in the hands on our job site and be these connectors that are valuable, right? And that's what we're really trying to put this together, because it's so much jaded answers, right? Because so I've used the tool, and we'll put links in the show notes. So you simply just have a box and you ask it a question.
That's right.
And that's kind of how it works. Is it your own data set, or is it Google, or like how does it, because my fear is it could drive more problems if you ask a question, you ask a stupid question, you get a stupid answer.
Yeah.
How does that kind of downstream, how does it work a little bit behind the scenes?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. So you've got two ends of the spectrum, right? We've got Google, where you go in, you could type the same question into Google, and you're going to have pages and pages of articles and blogs and whatever scientific studies, depending on how in-depth your question is, that you have to sift through to find the answer to your question that could be more of a problem than the question was when it started. What we've done with Builder Answers is basically siphon through all of that data, give the answer that we think is the most succinct based on your question that gives you a solution to go fix the problem that you initially had a question to resolve. Things can obviously get really murky, and when you ask stupid questions, we've built as best of a protocol as we can to say nicely, hey, this is a stupid question, i.e. we don't know the answer to this. I'm sorry, we can't help you. Try asking the question in this format, or are you asking the question in a geographic region that we don't know the answer to? So we have all of these safety barriers in place that help people funnel their question into an answerable solution through Builder Answers. Of course, there's ways to break the tool. We encourage people to get on and try to do that. You know, we get silly questions all the time. Questions that don't have to do with construction, it's going to spit them out. Questions that don't have to do with construction in the United States, it's going to spit them out. We're building those protocols for other areas, but we want things to funnel into an answerable context. And if we can't help get the person to that point, it will tell them we can't help them unless they can solve that problem.
Love that. So here we're on the global megaphone that we have huge listening audience in Tokyo and Canada. But then I always make the comment of the Art of Construction Master Facilitators are the riches in the niches. And I say that because on the lead-in, I said I wanted to challenge him about ChatGPT and Microsoft Copilot, that personally I'm just fascinated that, and looking at all of these context problems of like AI is going to fix all this and all this VC money, that now it's kind of like still have to do the work in that world too, of like building scripts of garbage in, garbage out.
Yep.
So you're trying to put, you know, build this in, to niche this in, to say, construction in the United States, this is how we build better buildings, and build a data set around that specifically inside of this world of master facilitators instead of a more general thing. But I think we're just on the forefront of like learning, if you're going to build off of Microsoft and utilize Copilot to search within your own data set, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
If you really build good data to help answer from the whole thing that we're trying to figure out is crusty contractor still holds the master key and they're crusty and don't want to be there anymore. How do we take that tribal knowledge and move it along? That's what I see these tools. But at the end of the day, you have to have master facilitators writing the script. Am I on par with that?
No, I think that's 100% correct. Let's take all the data that we have, and you know, we're only in America right now. That's a couple of clicks of a button and we change it and we're global. But if you're asking for the code on a certain install, it has to be for a specific region, right? We can't answer
the
question
because
there's
municipalities.
There's different building codes. That's right.
The map system, the hike that you did in New Zealand versus the map system at the state of Colorado,
that's right,
are different things that are going to not guide you properly. So we had to learn how to, and we both speak the same when we're in New Zealand, but it's interesting, the tribal knowledge or the dialects of speaking this, right? So for me, I live this every day in window and door, and it's been fascinating of I'm in the gooey middle of 25 years doing windows and doors, of the dialects of speaking windows and doors from going to different manufacturer to manufacturer or installer to installer or municipality to municipality. And what I say on the art of construction, as you and I are being leaders to move these things forward, you have to meet the people, i.e. the people that now it's the computational powers in their pocket and they're using it every day. You have to meet the municipalities. They have now finally starting to look at these things and getting involved in this because they realized there's no governance that's going to be able to manage the old school way to get a building permit. And most importantly, the businesses where they are. And you and I owning existing, let's call it legacy businesses, because I raise my hand the same of most people when I'm open and honest to say, we struggle of moving technology forward because you don't have enough time and money to make these changes as a small business. That's one of the big reasons why I'm here on the Art of Construction. So it starts with you and I being leaders. But the key thing we got to figure out as a team is to reverse mentor these things, get feedback, put the tools. And that's what I love about your Builder Answers tools is it's really easy that from this podcast, I'm going to give it to my own company and say, check this out, put a link, you know, send them the link in however you communicate internally and say, here's another tool to help you answer questions.
That's right.
Because at the end of the day, your pocket device, who's not biased?
Yeah.
We're all biased, right? You don't know what you don't know and you're jaded by what you think you know. So we have to be able to make them feel comfortable to have that conversation with crusty contractor who holds the master key.
Yep.
That's why I was really honored to have you say, you've really kind of built this crawl, walk, run, but you want to run with them where they are.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly right. And part of your question and the last question was, are we aggregating information from crusty contractor? And the answer to that question is yes, except for it's millions of them and they're not the crusty ones. So it's the people who wanted to put that 40 years of knowledge to work somewhere, make it consumable, and we're aggregating all of that information into one funnel where there's no physical interaction with another human being. So you're not dependent on the brain of the person that you're sitting across the table from. You're garnering information from years and years of experience from millions of people, which is a really cool spot to be. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, totally. And what I'm trying to understand is we're in this, like, I call it the sophomore slump, but it's like getting people to be like, oh, it's my own team. Oh, here's Devin's weekly tool that we're supposed to check out. I'm trying to do 10 things today with the tools that are kind of half-assed, but at least I know how to use them and I can get my job done.
Yeah.
And so that's what's hard about this stuff is you got to be very careful, and that's why we have so many podcasts and deep dive conversations around this to get clarity to this. Because the roadblocks of any of these tools that I've found is we have to take crusty contractor and take a collective of them and help them get out of their own way. But even before that is the developer, the briefcase builder that you ask questions that And before that is the whole legal and the council. And that's why I started this conversation about the begin with the end in mind, because at the end of the day, the real answer to all this stuff is the customer. But the problem with construction is the customer is so downstream. They're so jaded. But I think these type of tools are going to kind of like when the internet hit. We're at the internet 2.0 to say a customer can now ask these questions and they're not at the mercy of crusty contractor, the briefcase, or legal tarnishing this stuff. But my question back to you with all that, like, to answer, how do you, how, when you're developing this tool, how do you handle the roadblocks of legalities?
That's a really good question. So the big one is liability, right? We shed all liability. We don't want people utilizing the tool, most importantly, for something that it's not supposed to be used for. So if it doesn't pertain to construction, let's say you ask it a legal question that pertains to construction, great. That's awesome. We'll tackle that all day. But if you ask it a legal question that pertains to podcasting, we're going to just shut it down because we don't want that liability. So we've created that funnel where only information as it pertains to construction, legal is an important part of construction, architecture is an important part of construction, engineering is an important part of construction. We're obviously spitting out a really succinct answer, so we're not taking on liability in the sense that we're giving you a full-blown path forward, and if you follow it perfectly, you know, like an engineered and specified tool or anchor or window is supposed to meet a certain rating. We don't go that far with our tool because the whole point of Builder Answers is that it's succinct and it's short.
And that's a key thing. That's why there's still like this whole like push of just remove supply chain and the master facilitators from within when it comes to engineers and architects and trusted advisors in supply chain like windows and doors or specialty tools. I actually think we need more of them, but we need those people to jump into this to be part of the Builder's Answer instead of conflicting to that of saying, here's the 30,000 foot view of how windows and doors operate, but here's the local part of it, how I'm your trust advisor to actually understand how to put it into this specific project. Yeah. And I think that's that whole handoff that we're trying to really figure out. How do we make that easier instead of more challenging in the data drop chasm?
Yeah, and what should be happening is everything should be leveling up, right? When you used to walk into a car dealership to buy a new truck, the salesperson was supposed to know everything about the truck and teach you something when you walk through the front door so that you could make an educated decision. Now when you go to buy a new truck, it's more often than not the buyer who has more information about the truck than the person who's selling it, along with all the information about their competitors. So to your point, in construction, whether it's the developer who we're considering the customer or the ultimate end user, buyer, renter, or whatever that might be, they have the ability to go fact check the contractor or fact check the engineer. And we can either choose to be disgruntled about that and become more crusty as a contractor, or we can say, man, I better know my stuff. I need all the tools and help I can get because I got to level myself up. And hopefully socially as a community, that's where we're moving, is toward leveling ourselves up instead of being grumpy that our customer or the builder or whoever it might be in our chain of supply or work knows more than we do.
And that's in line where my mind goes into the future of construction, which is now, as you walk into an experience center, like you talk about a car dealership, of on the screen has the Builder Answers. So where you can from a collective source, not from a specific jaded person, to move down the stream. And that's where system built construction that we've adopted here on the Art of Construction is taking the legacy stuff of manufactured and modular to volumetric and the different ways to begin with the end in mind of you got to streamline some of this stuff. And once you get this aggregated data of this legacy stuff to scale up together, that's when we can actually put the power in the hands of making better decisions to move construction along faster. Because that's the key to this whole thing of like, how do we get through all of these roadblocks to make an informed decision? And that's where cars have started by taking the same chassis and here is the kit of parts.
Yeah.
That's what we're now trying to do over and over again in construction, but it's failing because the masses have not moved. Just like majority of the construction tech tools are not mass adopted. We have to get mass adoption, like the Toyota Lean principles, did with the car industry. Yep. And that's easier said than done. So I commend you for taking that, you know, that step forward, just like all of us, you know, taking the time as the go-givers and leaders in construction to say, you know what, at the end of the day, people ask me, why do you do this art of construction thing? Well, I think I'm like a lot of people where I'm passionate and I love construction and I'm not getting out of it. But God damn it, I'm sick of a lot of the ways it's done.
That's so well said.
And I think there's a lot of us like that. Yeah. To say, why should you be part of the art of construction is because, you know what? We have to band together and we have to be more open and honest about this stuff because the mental health of the people that we're saying should have these tools and know how to use them, they're really frustrated. You know what they're doing now? They're saying, screw all you guys that have been doing it for this way. I'm going to go do it my own way. And now you got all these – but starting up and running a business on your own is very different than project managing one for an existing company. Mm-hmm. And we got to find a way to put that stuff together.
Yep, that's exactly right. You're spot on, especially in an industry where margins are thin, startup costs are high. We got to be able to find a way to combine those two scenarios.
Yeah, there's plenty of margin, but not enough for everybody to reinvent the wheel every day.
Yeah,
we got to come together, right?
That's right.
So looking in the future, we always ask, this podcast is for our builders and affiliates to connect the right construction technologies and products to the right handshakes, which your whole platform is everything that we're wanting to do, and we're honored that that being part of this. When we think about the future and we throw that crystal ball out in the future, when it comes to technology, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction?
It's really simple. I just want technology and construction to look like technology in the rest of the world. It's that same conversation we had about having a different experience as a consumer at Chipotle or Starbucks. Why do we take a step back in time, 50, 80 years, 120 years in construction? We leave all the tools that make the rest of society as efficient and successful as it has been these last 50, 20, 100 years. I just want it to look like the rest of the world. That's the crystal ball. We got to have enough tools that sentence, construction looking like the rest of the world, is plausible and makes sense.
I love that, and it's such an obvious, simple answer, but when you get in this game, the great game of construction, it's so much. There's so much undertows to
it,
right? But
so
we've made so
much
traction because of tools like people that you have stepped out and said, okay, the builders needs the answers. But for the builder to get the answers, there's a whole tribe, a whole network of questions that need to be answered. So we commend you for doing that, and I couldn't agree more, and you know, vision without traction is a hallucination. So you and I could just be visionary owners of our existing companies, and there's way too many of them that I think that are going to be dying on the vine soon. Mm. But it's the ones like you that are stepping up to say, how do we do this differently to streamline this, to say the undertone of everything of the art of construction is how do we have as much fun as possible, right? And so niching into the final question I always ask, what is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
Don't be afraid of change. Look at the next door that you can potentially open. We talk a ton on our team with our leadership crew. When we all get in a room, more often than not, it's which of these two paths are we going to go forward with? And the answer is, have we opened door number three? Where is door number three? There's always an alternative option that might be hidden, but once you find it, you feel like it should have been staring you in the face the whole time. So don't be afraid of change. Don't be afraid to open door number three. Take a step and try something new. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But if you're not willing to take a shot, you're going to live and work the same way you've worked your whole entire life. And I think that's a good way to get left in the dust.
I love it. Marcus, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story.
Thanks so much for your time.
All right. Crush it out there, Tribe.